This week on the BOAG World Web Show, we're joined by Dan Edwards from No Divide to discuss the importance of stepping back and thinking strategically. Season 12 of the BOAG World Show is sponsored by Lynda.com, Template Monster, and that Kickstarter campaign that will inevitably fail to deliver. Hello and welcome to BOAGworld.com, the podcast for those involved in designing, developing and running websites on a daily basis. This week we're going to be talking about staying strategic, and we are joined by Marcus, obviously. Hello, Marcus.
Hello, Paul.
Because you're Mr. Strategic, aren't you? You think through carefully everything you do before you do it.
Absolutely. I'm doing it right now.
As I do as well. And then joining us to provide even more incompetency to the show...
Oh, that's harsh.
Well, no, it's Dan Edwards. Hello, Dan.
I was going to say thank you for having me, but I'm not sure now.
Well, apparently, well, I'm an embarrassment now, Dan. Yeah, and you. Yes, he's rude to me all the time these days. And it's spilling over into our guests, the people we've invited to join us on the show.
Yeah, but Dan said, there is logic behind this, that Dan said to me before the show, oh, this will be interesting, I'm not very strategic.
That is true, yeah. So I don't consider myself strategic.
But then we had Jeremy Keith on last week talking about growing a business, and he doesn't understand how business works. So this seems to become, this is like a trend now that we've started.
He did rather well. He talked a lot about...
sci-fi.
Employing people he talked a lot about.
Yeah, he was quite good actually. So he did a lot better than he thought.
Yeah, the things that he cares about, we managed to kind of steer him into, so that, it was okay.
And I'm sure the same will happen with Dan.
Because yeah, let's hope so, eh?
Dan is a world-class YouTuber these days, with a massive following of four people.
Same as this show.
Exactly, yes. We are groundbreaking, aren't we, Dan?
Apparently, according to you right now, yeah.
I'm talking complete bollocks this week. It's because we're doing it far too early and I had far too less sleep. See, there's
you can't
the
even talk like, now.
No.
You can't even use the correct words.
So Dan, Marcus, Dan, because I don't think you've met each other, have you?
Your name rings a bell, you work with Ryan, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, same, through the show, I know who you are, Marcus, but that is, we've never actually met, no.
No, so glad you said that, because I have a habit of saying, but we haven't actually met, have we? And they said, oh yes, we spent half an hour chatting at that conference. So no, oh phew, you saved me that embarrassment. But no, yeah, you work with Ryan at No Divide?
Right? Good, Marcus. Got the name of the company and everything.
That's as far as it goes, by the way.
So, good research there.
So Ryan used to work with Headscape, then he went freelance. Dan, you've never had a proper job, have you?
Me?
Yeah. Did you work for someone or have you always worked for yourself? Because you are only about 3 and a half.
Yeah, no, I'm getting old. I'm 27 next month.
Are you really?
Yeah.
Wow, not the Young Designer of the Year award for you anymore.
Certainly not, no. I don't know. No, I've probably not really had a proper job. I guess I started off in a surf shop and I was doing graphic design, and my first sort of job in web design was to sort of redesign their website when I was working there, but it was pretty terrible. And then I did have a proper job. I had a part-time job at an online surf shop alongside that as their graphic designer. And then I was doing sort of, 2 days a week at an agency and then the rest of the time freelance before going full-time freelance, and then No Divide last November.
So it's only been since November you've been doing No Divide?
Yeah, yeah.
Wow, it feels like a lot longer than that. Although I guess you and Ryan had worked together for quite a long time before No Divide became a thing.
Yeah, we definitely tested the water with it, because it is kind of like getting married when you decide you're going to start an agency with somebody.
Hey, don't I know it. I've just had a very rough divorce. It was quite traumatic, wasn't it, Marcus?
Of course you have, yeah.
I'm not going down this particular analogy.
See, do you not like the idea of being married to me, Marcus?
No, we've had this conversation previously. And I'm not going down that route.
I lie in bed thinking about being married to you, Marcus.
Really?
Yeah. It's true.
A little bit disturbing.
A little bit. Anyway. Don't encourage him.
So, Dan, yes, you tested the waters, sorry.
Yeah, we worked together. We actually met at the Net Awards in 2013, so we haven't actually known each other that long, although I've known about Ryan for a while from him working at Headscape and then working with people like Mike Coos, who I know very well, and seeing, you know, he was always one of the developers that I said I really want to work with at some point, because I'd seen what he'd done with other websites, and I thought, you know, he's really good, so I want to work with this guy. And then, yeah, we met in 2013, and yeah, by the end of 2014, we'd launched a business together, which is quite weird because we'd probably only met three or four times. And
you are at kind of opposite ends of the country, aren't you?
Fairly, yeah. I mean, I think he is like in the deepest, darkest part of the country, but he's really only in Leeds. But, you know, for me, being a southern boy, he's further than the M25, so he is northern, and it's very far north.
Well, he really is northern, let's be fair.
I mean, he wears...
That's kind of true, yeah.
He wears flat caps, so he must be northern, or at least he did do. I don't know whether
this is true. He does wear flat caps.
Has he got a whippet?
He has a lot of northernisms as well.
He's definitely northern, without a doubt. He also has this bizarre thing where his head's upside down. Have you noticed that about Ryan?
Yeah, he does, yeah. Mm. I think, I don't know what... you do see this a fair amount, you know, with bald men. They decide they're going to grow their head upside down. I don't know.
It's very big.
I'm probably going to have to do it at some point, so... I'm surprised you haven't done it, Paul.
Well, perhaps I ought to, yeah. Have more hair on my face than on my head. It's the way to go. I'm sure it'll suit me wonderfully.
It is early in the morning, isn't it?
I make no excuse. This is the second from last episode of what has been... Ooh. Yeah, last one next week. Of a longer season than we normally do.
We're running out of steam.
Well, to be honest, this is episode 14. Normally we finish on episode 13. So I figure that if you're listening to this... It's all gravy now. This is extra.
It's just a bonus, know? And it's probably like those bonus tracks. They're never very good.
Exactly. So there we go. So you've been, as well as doing your work with No Divide, you've also been doing a video series on YouTube, which is very cool.
Yeah, been doing Let's Talk Design for a month, just over a month. But I did my first actual episode a month ago, so episode 4 went out the day that we're recording this, which was Tuesday. But when is this going out?
This goes out on a Thursday in like 2 weeks time or something. You can't do time. This is
okay. So a couple
wibbly
of weeks
wobbly
ago,
timey wimey. Yeah.
I guess when this goes out, it'll probably be about 6 weeks. Hopefully I'm still doing it by that point.
Yeah, people are going, look, where is this thing?
Yeah. You've got banned from YouTube for obscene language or something. I don't know. What could you do to get yourself banned?
I'm very family friendly on my channel. I did a recording with Ryan in the latest video, and he said arse, and I made him re-record it.
Oh,
which is
harsh.
Terrible, really, because arse isn't really even a swear word. But
no.
I think it was more because he directed once Dan gets his finger out of his.
Oh, right.
And I sort of said, oh, no, you can't say that. But actually, probably it's probably because he said it about me.
Yeah, there's the truth. And now you've just said arse on this show, so we're going to have to re-record that as well. We're going to have to beep out the word arse. Actually, Marcus, you ought to beep it out, because then people would think it's a lot worse than it actually was.
Yeah.
Okay,
I'll guess what it could be.
Yes.
You won't do that. You never bother doing anything useful on this show.
The only time I edit the show is when you say embarrassing things, Paul.
Actually, I know, yeah, you do have to do that from time to time.
Is that whole marriage thing going to be cut out now?
Well, no. It's Paul doesn't, you know, mouth in gear, brain not engaged. And I'm just taking notes. Oh yeah, at 32 minutes 40 seconds.
So yeah, so yeah, No Divides is basically just you're answering questions for people.
Yeah, it basically came
not No
from...
Divide. I called it No Divide, didn't I? I didn't mean that. I meant what's it called?
Well, we've done it through the Oozled channel, which was one of the side projects that myself and Ryan started before No Divide, and we've always wanted to do more with Oozled, and we've long wanted to do sort of interviews and Q&A and podcasts and things like that with it to, you know, bring more content into it. But for me, it was kind of like I wanted to answer some questions for people that maybe wanted a...
There's your IKEA call.
No, right. It's not. That's my mate's house phone. It's not even my phone.
Oh, see, that's really annoying, isn't it? We're very excited. At some point in the show, Dan is going to get a call from IKEA. What are you getting delivered, Dan?
I'm getting a wardrobe. It's not that exciting.
Oh,
or, see, it's got those slidey mirror doors on it.
It hasn't. It hasn't got the slidey mirror doors. I don't really know what to do about this phone because I'm not at my house.
they'll give up in a minute.
It stopped now.
It stopped. Hooray. Now, the slidey mirror doors IKEA wardrobes are one of the hardest things you'll ever build in your life, ever.
Oh, I can imagine. I struggle enough with this one.
The feeling of, you know, wholeness and completion once it's finished and you can slide them back and forward.
See,
18 hours later is unbelievable.
For me, IKEA is this really exotic thing because I live so far in the depths of nowhere that I have to like travel 10 hours across mountain ranges and through rivers to reach an IKEA.
To go and eat the meatballs.
Just to eat the meatballs, yeah, and then I turn around and walk back because we don't have cars.
I suppose you've only just got chairs down there, haven't you?
I know, it's very... Hey, I tell you what is exciting. I'm going to get fibre broadband. Oh!
Wow. That is exciting.
A little bit of Wii came out when I discovered that. It was that exciting.
I can get fibre broadband, but I'm so far from the exchange, it's not much. It's about 1 or 2 megabits per second faster than I've currently got on copper.
Yeah, so it's like, not a lot. Yeah.
Disappointing.
That really is crap.
So I've got a question about your video show. Sure. Because you're answering questions. So you answer people's questions. Have you yet got to the point where you're making up questions?
Not yet. Not yet.
Oh, no.
No, not yet.
He's lying, Paul. He's lying.
He is, isn't he?
Yeah. I'm really not.
Jeff from, you know, Ohio says.
The thing is I've kind of stitched myself up in a little way because... the way that the show is that I actually show an avatar for every person that answers a question and their Twitter handle or their, you know, so there is like a real element to it. So if I started to make them up, I think I've only ever done one question that I couldn't find an avatar for the person because they emailed, but I couldn't find them online. So I just didn't have an avatar. But other than that, I always try and include an avatar and make it a bit more personal because I feel like, you know, the person is often... questions should kind of be shown. But yeah, so if I do get to the point where I have to start making up questions, I'm going to start just having to, I don't know, take photos of random people in the street, I guess.
There's nothing wrong with doing that, is there? No.
Apparently people don't like that very much.
If you do it secretly, they'll never know. Oh, but then you put it on the internet.
Yeah, that's the thing. And, mind you, I get so little views, it probably wouldn't matter.
Give
Nobody
it time.
Never know.
That's the secret, is don't give up. Keep going. Eventually, people start watching just because they're impressed by your perseverance. That's the only reason we have anybody watching this show. Listening to this show is because we just haven't given up and died yet. I think they tune in, you know, just to wait for the car crash that inevitably will happen.
Again,
I'm sure they don't, but yeah, I think you're absolutely right. Perseverance is key. I think, you know, not necessarily with anything I've seen, but I think it's very easy to sort of go, oh well, you know, I've only got 100 subscribers over the last month, and you know, I've accumulated, you know, sort of 2,500 views over that time. That's not really enough to warrant doing it, but you know, it will come. You know, it's there's no such thing as an overnight success. So, no.
It took me. It was all about me. Marcus was involved. It took us years and years to get beyond 600 subscribers for the podcast, and that was in the days when, you know, people actually listened to podcasts. So it is a very, very slow process. But anyway, let's move on to the topic that we're supposed to be discussing today. But before we do that, I just want to quickly mention our sponsor, Template Monster, the guys that luckily provide me with questions so that I don't have to make up questions. Because all this time, Marcus, you've been thinking we've been making up questions for this season, but we haven't entirely. There may be one or two when I wanted to talk about a particular thing and no one asked the proper question. They also help pay for the transcript on the show. Now, I wanted to talk about, I talked before about their kind of Uber theme, or Uber template that they provide called Monstroid. But it's actually out now, and there are kind of videos you can watch and see how it works and stuff like that. And I did just want to kind of mention it again because it's now out. And it is quite, remarkable. It's like, almost kind of hosting your own Squarespace on a WordPress installation. It's kind of this huge, monstrous, hence the name, WordPress theme, which you could build absolutely anything within it. So it's kind of, and the other thing is they're constantly expanding and they're talking about adding kind of 50 new things to it every month. Including new features, styling, templates, etc. They've got over 15 Premiere extensions baked into it that you can use, including an absolutely amazing, oh, I can't remember the name of it now, an absolutely amazing extension which basically gives you that kind of Squarespace drag and drop functionality within WordPress, which is superb. They've got 24/7 support on it, which is through the entire life cycle of you owning this thing, where they'll respond within 2 to 4 hours, even on Christmas Eve, they apparently claim. They also give you a big old chunk of PSDs to go with it, which allows you to further customize it if you want to. They've got an installation wizard to make it really easy to set up. It's fully responsive. It's SEO friendly. It's got loads of stock imagery that comes with it. But what's really important about it, and I think important thing to stress, is that this because it sounds so big, it sounds very, what's the word, bloated. But you can turn on and off stuff as you want. So if you're not using something, none of that's getting loaded into the site. It minimizes all your code and all of that kind of stuff. So it really does look quite interesting if you're working on smaller websites. Obviously, it's not as good as having a professional designer such as Dan working on your site. But if you're working, you know, if it's a smaller site, if speed to market is really important to you, then check out Monstroid, boagworld.com/MONSTROID. Cool. Right, let's move on to talk about what we're talking about this week, which is strategy. So, Dan, when you set up No Divide with Ryan, did the two of you sit down and have a conversation of what you wanted out of the company?
No.
Oh, this is going to be hard work.
Bit like us then, Paul.
Yeah.
I think it was one of those things that it made sense for us because we felt like we'd kind of plateaued. Our time, you know, your time doesn't scale and there was only so much we could do individually. And I think it was a logical step for us to kind of join. I mean, we didn't sit down as such and discuss, like, what our aims and goals and aspirations were for anything. I mean, we kind of loosely talked about it and, you know, we both have similar kind of goals with the company. You know, we both kind of wanted to or want to get to a position of, you know, like a 5 to 6 sort of person agency and then, reevaluate. But our most important thing, I think, was we wanted to work with people that wanted to work with us, rather than having to try and take on everything and not be completely happy with it, or, you know, something that goes live and it's not something you want to shout about. We wanted everything that we worked on to be something that we could be proud to put our name to. Mm. And that was kind of as far as like our strategy went. I mean, Ryan is more probably strategic than me. He wants to and has created sort of more process-driven documentation stuff, so we can kind of have documentation in place for how we manage certain projects and, you know, everything in regards to, he had set up all our Trello boards and everything in like a sprint structure so that everything is very clear and focused, and we know how we work on 95% of our projects. Mm-hmm. which has been a great thing, because it's no longer sort of like I would just pick up a new project and then just sort of run with it, and it would kind of go off in multiple directions and not really have an idea of the, you know, I'm trying to think what to say.
Words.
Sorry.
Words. You're trying to sound more strategic than you actually are.
I'm probably trying to sound more strategic. But, I used to wing it a lot more than I do now, basically. Right.
I mean, this is kind of, I'm kind of quite glad we've got you on the show to talk about this. And Marcus, to be honest, because when it comes to strategic stuff, I tend to think very strategically. But the truth is...
Hold on 2 seconds. I've got a puppy destroying some clothing. 2 seconds, sorry.
Oh, you forgot to mention the dog.
Oh, yeah, we got... So Dan is, as you can see, is very strategic. He's arranged an IKEA delivery while the show's on. And he's babysitting a puppy. So, really good planning ahead. Bless him. Bless him. We love him anyway. Yeah, so what I was saying is that I tended to be... I tend to be very strategic in my thinking and the way that I operate. And so but I'm not always sure how necessary that is. And there are so many books out there that are kind of telling you to be strategic and to think strategically and approach things strategically. And it can be quite intimidating, especially when you're a small business, as to whether you should you have a mission statement? Should you do this and that and the other? And I don't know, really. And that was the first question, proper question that I was going to ask is, and I'll be interested in your thoughts on this, Marcus. Do you think that it really is that important to kind of think strategically as long as work keeps coming in?
Well, the literal answer to that question is no, it doesn't matter as long as the work keeps coming in. But you probably have to have... You probably have to review your strategy, and that can mean all sorts of things for the work to keep coming in. So, yeah, if I'm answering the question literally as it's asked, then no. Why kind of beat yourself up about we need to be going down this new route or this new avenue or whatever to ensure that we're still viable? If you don't need to. Although I think there are some elements of strategic thinking that are actually quite fun. When we've done it in the past, we've kind of taken a day off and we've gone off and had a day to kind of look at what we've done, where we are, what we want to do, what the opportunities are. That's quite a fun thing to do. So it shouldn't necessarily be something that should worry you. My experience of developing strategy with Headscape has been that maybe we've tried a bit too hard and we've tried a lot of things that haven't really worked. But
that was kind of what I was thinking about when I sat down to write this, you know, and ask the questions. Because I got all excited because it was like, oh, yes, I'm going to talk about this book I've read and this book I've read and how this and that. And when I actually came to it, and I look back at the strategic thinking we did at Headscape, I'm not sure any of it was any use, really.
Well, no, I disagree with that. I think the fact that we often looked at what we want from the business which has never really changed that much. But we kind of then we felt, well, we need to make sure that, you know, not make sure, but we want to kind of offer that to our, to the people that work at Headscape, and how can we make their lives, you know, better and more interesting and bring in more work that they are going to enjoy. Not saying we always do that, but that's a strategic thought, isn't it? We want to go for work that's more interesting for the people that work for us. We're going to go for more of that kind of thing. That's a strategic decision, and it's a good one. But we've made lots of kind of let's try and make more money by doing lots of. We've made some decisions over the years. Get Sign Off, that we discussed previously in this series, was the biggest example of that, where we decided we're going to invest. We made a strategic decision to invest in developing a product, which just didn't work. I think listening to other people talk about that who are in similar positions, I think we were a bit half-hearted about it, and didn't really believe in it. And I think a bit like you were talking earlier about doing a blog or a podcast or a video show, you just got to keep at it. And I think if your heart is in developing projects, then you will keep doing it until you have a hit. But we just sort of thought, well, let's give this a go. And it didn't really work, because what we like doing is kind of service-based agency-type work. So we kind of, and that's a good thing. That means we got it right early on, and we've managed to kind of do it for many years.
I'm wondering whether it depends on the type of business that you're trying to grow. Because we were always trying to grow a lifestyle business, one that kind of facilitated. So we were strategic in that regards. There was a point of time when we sat down and said, you know, no, we don't want to build a big business that we then sell off. And no, we don't want to grow a big business just for the sake of it. We want to have a business that facilitates the lives that we want to live.
Yeah.
So that was a strategic decision. But once I think you've made that, then maybe you approach the business in a different way. Dan, are you back with us?
Yes, I am back, yeah. I've been listening, yeah.
So is that where you guys are at? What are you looking for from your business? Are you looking to build an empire, or are you looking to, you know, what are you after?
I think, to be honest with you, I think it changes. Which, you know, I think is kind of a natural thing, because it's always, you know, the grass is always greener on the other side, I think, and I can't help but think if we were, right, completely focused on building, you know, a 500-person agency, that actually when we got to that position, would we be happy with the work we were doing, because we had to take on work that perhaps wasn't what we wanted to be doing, purely because we've got such a big company. So our goal has always been kind of short goals. We don't have like a big end goal. We have lots of little ones, and we kind of have hit, like, for example, we wanted to get to 5 people, and although there's only 4 full-timers, we do have a contractor as well. There's actually 5 of us, you know, that could be working in the company now at any one point.
I didn't realize that we're more than just you and Ryan.
You weren't listening when Ryan was on the show, Paul.
Well, no, he bores me.
I was going to say, I think he covered that when he was on.
I don't understand him because he talks Northern.
That is very true, that's true.
That's really embarrassing now. Did he really cover that when he was on the show?
I'm pretty sure he did. Yes, he did.
Oh, that's really embarrassing.
But there is 4 of us full time. We are development strong. There are 3 developers, although Matt has... he's pretty good with design as well, but then just myself on design, and then Lucy, who works with us as a contractor for content. So our goals were to get to the position we're at now and kind of reevaluate. And, you know, right now our next hire, we want to hire a project manager, but, you know, to be able to allow us to do that, we've got to obviously have a certain amount of capital to allow us to do that. So we have sort of these short goals, which I guess are strategic in that, you know, we will then find ways of achieving those. And whether that is through, at the moment, it's solely via, you know, servicing clients. But, you know, we do also want to grow things like Oozled, which is a side project of ours, hence the YouTube chat videos that I'm doing, and we're launching other things coming up in the next couple of months on that. And, you know, they are strategic. I mean, they are things that we've wanted to do because they are, you know, good for the community, as it were. But also, I think, you know, we can't deny that we also do have a business side to those where, you know, we do want to make money from them, or at least we want to generate work to NoDivide through projects like Oozled. So, yeah, I guess, you know, we do have these sort of short goals, but not like a overall this is what we want to be, because at the end of the day, you know, somebody asked me at a conference a few months ago. They said, what would you do if one of your side projects really took off, and, you know, would you kill off NoDivide? And, you know, my answer at the time was, well, hopefully not. We would instead bring in the team to be able to work on that and also continue to service clients on the side. But of course, you know, never say never. And I think, you know, going with the flow is part of what we have to do, really.
Yeah. I mean, there is that other element in all of this, isn't there? That because of the nature of our industry and its fast changing pace, I think there's only a certain degree of strategic planning that actually works anyway, because the environment in which you're in is changing all the time. You know, it could be that, you know, I don't know, you can't even predict, can you, what might come along and send you off in a new direction. You might suddenly become obsessed with wearables and start doing more wearable stuff because that becomes huge and there's some interesting design challenges around it, and you kind of follow that.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think perhaps, you know, with being strategic, I think definitely in a larger company, these things are perhaps more important because you have such a large group of people that you're working with, especially if you were, say, like a 200-person company. You would have to have, you know, a really strong strategic business head on you to be able to lead a company like that. Whilst we are able to be more flexible, you know, there's, as I said, there's only four of us full time, and therefore we could shift into different things if we wanted to. We always want to work in the interests of ourselves, so we wouldn't want to lead the company into a direction that everybody wasn't happy with. So, you know, we would want everybody that's working with us to be happy with what they're doing, and that's always a constant sort of worry for me, you know, making sure our staff are actually interested and passionate about what it is that they're working on, you know. And if they're not, what can we do to change that? And that can throw a massive curveball, you know.
Yeah.
Somebody came in with a great idea for an app, you know, and we said, well, yeah, but we just don't build apps, you know. We may just go, well, let's give it a go, you know. And like you say, that throws you off in a completely other tangent, and you could suddenly become a product company and you're no longer a design agency, as it were. So, yeah.
I think it's about not having any, you know, there's a balance here, isn't there? I think it's nice, like you say, to have short-term goals, to have a framework of what it is that you want to do, where you're at, what your broader objectives are, but then just to remain flexible in that. So it's like recently I was making a decision about that I wanted, I've decided that I want to primarily focus on not-for-profits. I enjoy doing that kind of work. But it, you know, I didn't want to entirely close it down and say I would never do a commercial project again, because, you know, there might be something good that comes along that I'm really interested in. But on the other hand, I felt I needed some degree of focus in what I was doing as well. It's a difficult balance.
I think as generally, and I know there's a lot of people don't like to brand us with the term creatives, but I think as creative people, I'll talk for myself anyway, I feel I get bored very easily. So, you know, I will, and not just in work, but just in hobbies and all sorts of things, really. So I find that if I was to pigeonhole myself into a certain sector or a, you know, exclusively work with startups or exclusively work with non-profits or in the finance sector or whatever, I would have to be really, really, really passionate about it to be able to make that decision. And I don't think I'm passionate about any one sort of sector or industry that I could do that, you know. And that's just me. Like, everybody's different, you know. I love surfing, and I, you know, but I couldn't imagine working with just surfing clients, because suddenly then I would probably, knowing me, I would probably get bored after a year of doing all surfing websites, you know. And I'd want to challenge and do something else, you know.
But that is the sensible thing to do. You know, that's what the business books would tell you to do, is to, you know, specialise, especially from a marketing point of view. You know, that the, because then, you know, the, if you specialise, then people, you know that you're an expert in that field, and, you know, your marketing efforts can be concentrated in that field. But that doesn't mean that you have to specialise in that area forever, one presumes, you know.
No, and also, you know, what if that sector, it just isn't that well funded? I mean, talking about the surfing industry, it's one of those industries that is very, very popular, but it's also massively under, sorry, a dog has just sat on my leg. it's also one of those industries that isn't really that well funded in the grand scheme of things. Like, in terms of digital, there is as not as much funding as you know, other tech industries. So, and certainly, you know, non-profits and other areas like that. So, you know, I think it, I don't know, it's the kind of, you know, generalist or
specialist.
Specialist. I'm like you, Paul, I can barely speak today. Yes, whether you should specialise or be a generalist. And I answered this on the show recently, and this was more, that was, it was actually aimed more at sort of skill set, but, you know, I think the same answer applies, is that I think you should sort of try a bit of everything and then find out what you really don't like. And I found that the same for my route into web design was, you know, try a bit of everything, a bit of illustration, delve, you know, learn a bit of code and find out what it is that you do and don't like, because, you know, you might surprise yourself, or you will quite quickly realize, okay, no, I don't really enjoy coding. I don't really want to be a developer, but I love typography and, you know, everything about print, and I want to become a, you know, a designer for bands, or, you know, I want to be a logo designer or whatever. And I think as a business as well, you know, you working with a diverse group of clients is really, really important, because, you know, we've just recently worked with Charity Bank, which is a, they were actually a non-profit, but they've now become a for-profit organization, I guess. But, you know, that has been an amazing insight into the charity sector, because they work with, you know, so many charities across the UK, and they've lent like nearly 500 million to charities. And it's been really interesting to see their business model and also what they do. And and I'd love to work with more non-profits. I think if they were all like how we've experienced them so far, it's been amazing. But it's probably not true. You know, I'm sure if you're focusing on non-profits, you could probably tell me in a year's time that, yeah, they are, there's probably still some people that aren't that great, you know. As with everything, I guess.
I guess the problem that this raises, because, I mean, if you take Headscape, for example, we've moved through a series of different sectors, haven't we, Marcus?
Yeah.
But we've never specialised in the kind of, you know, in a formal sense. We've never said, like, I've just done, you know, I'm going to specialise just in not-for-profits.
No, definitely not. I wouldn't want to do that.
But we have had, you know, we've done the heritage sector, we've done higher education, etc., charities. We've kind of, there are sectors we specialise in. Why do you say you wouldn't want to do that?
Because you're unnecessarily closing a door. I think one specialises in particular sectors because in the kind of work we do, which is kind of quite high-end client services, the majority of the work you're going to win will be through some kind of recommendation. So it makes sense that you're going to go to use Sales Talk further up a channel, because people within a particular, a client that you're working with, it's likely that the recommendation will go to somebody that's working in a similar organisation to them. It might be a friend in a completely different sphere, and that does happen. But I think more often than not, you're going to win a work. You're going to win the work because you've done a good job for a particular client who's recommending you to somebody else in a particular field or a particular.
But the problem, just to play devil's advocate, but the problem with that is, so why No Divide or why Headscape over any other agency out there? You're just the same as everybody else. Do you know what I mean?
I think it's, and we have covered this in the series as well, I think it's whether you and the client feel that you're a good fit for each other. If that client, when they meet you, thinks, I can work with this person, chances are you'll win the work.
But to even get to the point of them knowing about you, you know, you're working on the basis of, that it's a recommendation. But, mm-hmm. In the case of No Divide, I mean, you guys have only been around since November. So in that case, there is, you've got a personal, before that. But how do you differentiate No Divide from anybody else? How do people come to you if it's not through some form of specialization?
Yeah, I mean, it's a good question. I think it's one that we are always kind of asking ourselves, it's sort of how you get more clients. It's why we're trying to put out content. I think putting out content around the industry that you work in is a good way to establish yourself as an expert. And I think that, by doing that, which is what we're trying to do, Matt has written a book about HTML5, and Ryan's written one about Git, and I'm trying to do more talks and writing blog posts and doing the videos and stuff like that. Essentially what I'm trying to do is establish us as the experts in the industry, so that we have some kudos when a potential client visits us, that they go, these guys obviously know what they're talking about. And then we kind of hope that that's enough for them to believe that we can do the job. And then actually when we speak to them, we think we're pretty good at getting across and getting to grips with the business that they're in, and understanding that, and then being nice people. And I think what Marcus said about making sure you get on with the client is just the most important thing. But obviously that does come later, and that tends to be, I think, how we win our work. It's certainly how we've been told that we've won our work, is because clients have said, well, we really liked you and really, really liked what you do. I think a really strong portfolio is obviously really key. It's something that we actually haven't really got at the moment. Our portfolio is sort of just a visual list, and then with links off to websites. We want to write more about the case studies and what we did for our clients. And I think that is sort of what you've got to be able to do, be able to establish yourself as, we know what we're doing. We're very, very good at it. You can see how we've helped previous people, and, we'd love to help you. But, I guess it's...
As I look at kind of Headscape and I look at No Divide, and in fact, any agency, I can't help but see there's so many agencies out there that if you look at it from a client's perspective, if they haven't come via a personal recommendation, and Marcus, I totally agree with what you're saying, and that makes a huge difference, there is just an overwhelming amount of choice, and I don't know how you begin to narrow that down without expressing some level of specialism. Now, don't get me wrong, my reason for specializing in not-for-profits is nothing whatsoever to do with the commercial decision. It was something I wanted to do personally. So I'm not suggesting that I've done the right thing and you guys have done the wrong thing, because my reasons for doing it was totally different. I just find it.
Depends how far you go, though. It depends what you mean by specialism. I could argue that Headscape are specialist digital designers or something, some crap like that.
Yeah.
You know, we don't do print, we don't do SEO marketing or anything like that, so therefore we're specialists. I can also argue that we are a one-stop shop for everything you're ever going to need, you know, for website-related stuff or digital stuff. So I can argue we're specialists and the opposite. So it depends what you mean by that.
Yeah, I guess I'm looking at more than that. I don't know. I'm not.
Well, you're talking about like an industry or a sector specialism rather than a. I mean, as an agency, you could do marketing both offline and offline. You could do video production as digital, or not even digital, but as designers, you know, you can go into print, you can go into product, you can go into, you know, video and all these various things. And actually, so we are kind of, like Mark said, we are kind of specialised in that we are digital, and more than that, we are web. You know, we are, we're not, I mean, at No Divide, for example, we don't design and build mobile applications, you know. We are web at the moment, you know, web applications and websites. So we are kind of specializing in that way, but we're not in a sector way. It's not like if you came to our site as a non-profit, you would be like, okay, yeah, these guys win it in this category or in our industry. And that's a personal decision, because we don't, like Marcus said, we don't want to close doors for the sake of it. But you've also made a personal decision, Paul, that is who you want to work with. And I think because you as one person can do that, whilst me as a team of four, I think to expect everybody on the team to kind of get into that and be like, yeah, okay, we're going to work with, you know,
just these
a surfing client or just e-commerce. There are, you know, there's agencies out there that are very focused on, they do Magento e-commerce sites for, you know, the Fortune 500.
Yeah.
And that is what they do. And everybody on the company is on board with that. But, you know, the thing we've sold our employees into is that we are diverse and that we want to work on multiple projects. And it was one of the first questions we asked them was, you know, what projects do you want to work on, you know? And, you know, they sort of came back with, oh, well, a bit of everything really, and we really liked what you did with this and whatever. And so that's kind of the dream that we've sold them, you know, that's what we want to do. And I can't expect my personal, you know, selfishness to go, right, well, I really want to work on, you know, extreme sports websites, and then expect everyone else to be okay with that.
Yeah, and that,
whilst as an individual you can.
Yeah, and that's absolutely fair. I think that I think the key takeaway here isn't whether or not you should specialise. It's the fact that you have to consider these things. At some stage you have to sit down and go, okay, where am I setting the limits? You know, what do I want this company to be? And that's what, it's very easy just to stumble along and not do that kind of thinking. And I think there is a time where you have to go, okay, what, you know, am I confident in my decision to be a generalist, or to just do websites, or to, you know, just do e-commerce, or to specialize in not-for-profits, or whatever decision that you've ended up making? Am I comfortable with that, and have I made that as a conscious decision, or have I just kind of stumbled into it? And you know, because we in Headscape, you know, there were many times in Headscape where we went, hang on a minute, this has just kind of happened to us, and we'd lost control of the business, and the business had we'd ended up serving the business rather than the business serving us. Or is that just my feeling, Marcus?
When we got too big for what we wanted to be, I would agree with that, definitely.
Yeah.
Was it you said earlier, an agency with 500 people, Dan? I just thought the thought just horrifies me.
Yeah.
Which is, and they exist, but I don't. I mean, if you've got to diversify, if you're going to be a 500 person agency,
I think those agencies are typically, you know, much more diverse. Yeah. You know, they do video production and marketing and
the whole
everything
lot. Ad
in between.
Basic, yeah. Basically.
Ad agencies.
And also, I think they have departments dedicated to different sectors as well. Certainly from the sales
point of view. Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah. You know, or even specific clients, you know. I know the guys at LBI have, you know, or at one point anyway, I don't know if still do, had a whole team working on Virgin, you know.
And yeah.
There was the Virgin digital team, basically, but they were, you know, employed by LBI. And that's a whole different thing, isn't it? You know, there might be a team of 40 people working on Lloyds Bank at an ad agency, you know, and yeah, totally.
Well, it seems to be
that's
the way.
Very specialised team.
Yeah, it seems to be, a trend is a bit strong, but there are a few examples of big agencies being bought out by large companies to become their team. Internal team.
Adaptive Path is one example.
Yes, exactly. They went to Citibank, was it? Something like that.
Something, I can't remember. Yeah. One of the banks. Well, we've decided nothing. We've not only have we decided nothing, we've answered none of my questions.
I did actually think of something earlier, Paul, when we were talking about the fact that we wanted a lifestyle business rather than choosing a kind of 5-year plan when we're going to sell the company. I think that the type of work that we do, and that's not just Headscape, but same as and No Divide too, kind of makes the decision for you. There are very few successful sales of service-based companies. They do happen, but they're rare. And so it's just like, well, why bother with that? Let's not kill ourselves for 5 to 10 years trying to sell this thing. Let's just do some good work, do a good job, try and make some money at it.
I'm not sure whether I agree with that, Marcus. I would have agreed with that when I was still at Headscape. I've had some really interesting conversations in these mentorship things that I do.
Right.
Where I've encountered agencies that have chosen the other route. Mm. Now, they haven't sold yet, but they've got a pretty damn solid plan for doing it, which is essentially to target clients that potentially might want to buy them one day.
Right, yeah, well, based on what we just said about Adaptive Path. You have to aim pretty high for that, I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, it's for me personally, it's a big gamble. But let's be honest, Marcus, we're not risk takers, are we?
No, not particularly, no. Yeah, we've never wanted to bet the business on anything.
And we're not even ambitious. Well, we're not, are we?
I don't know. What does that mean?
I don't know, but we don't want to. We don't get.
Depends what you mean. My ambition in life is to be as happy as I possibly can be. From that point of view, I'm very ambitious.
But you're not business ambitious,
I want to make as much money as I possibly can be. I'm an old man now, Paul, and I realise that that's not a particularly great goal to reach happiness.
I'm getting all zen now,
aren't I? But it's true.
No, it is 100% true. I mean, we don't get a buzz, we don't get happiness from building something large and impressive and cool. That's not where we get our happiness from. And some people do. Some people, and this is why I do think you need to think strategically to a certain degree. For example, one of the companies that I'm working with at the moment, the guy that runs that company, he's early 30s. And, you know, I asked him what he wants, right? And he said to build a big, he said he wants to build a big agency, right? And I was like, I pushed him more over it.
That's
why?
Not a proper answer.
No, I said that to him. I said, it's not a proper answer. But it was. He gets a buzz out of building things, right? That wasn't a means to an end for him. That wasn't, I want to build a bigger business so that I can make more money or I can, you know, hand it over or sell it or anything like that. The act of building the business was what excited him. And for me, that's ambition. Do you see what I mean?
Yes.
And that's why I say that I'm not ambitious, because I've got no desire to do that whatsoever.
I'd just say that's different priorities, though, isn't it? You know, some people love the climb, you know. And then when they get there, they sell and they move on to the next thing and they build up another one.
Yeah.
And they, you know, that's what they do. I mean, that's a very sort of almost a startup mentality.
Entrepreneurial.
You know, where you would, you know, build rapidly, build big and, you know, either sell or whatever. I mean, I guess it depends whether you then want to stay with that once it gets to that point or whether you think, right, done that, move on to the next one.
Yeah.
You know, but I think that's the thing is, got to remember, is that everybody is different. And so therefore, you know, yes, I think strategic thinking is important, but that can be different for every person. That could be as simple as, you know, these small sort of goals that we have, or it could be the much bigger, broader, oh, I want to, you know, be the biggest digital agency.
Yeah.
And then, you know, go out and that's how you do it. But I think if you're, depending on what your goals are, you're going to have to be more strategic. So if they're bigger and bolder and, you know, harder to get to, then you're probably going to have more strategy in how you get there. Whilst smaller goals require less strategy because they're easier to get to. It doesn't mean they're any easier or, that, you know, you don't have to think about them, but I guess they require less because they are quicker, you know, so it can be something that can happen over a short period of time. So therefore, you don't need to map out the next 5 years to be able to get to a goal that is feasible within 6 months.
I think the other aspect, we really ought to wrap this up soon, but the other aspect is I think maybe you become a bit more strategic the older you get. Because you start to think, you know, in my case, I'm starting to think, okay, so I've now got, how old am I? 43. I've got another 20, you know, 20 years of work, maybe. At maximum, I want to do that. I'd prefer to do a bit less if I could possibly get away with it. And so you start going, okay, so what do I need to do to get where I want to be by that point? And what do I want my life to be like between now and then? You know, and what's the next step? I've done this so far, and where do I go next? And so, for example, my decision to leave Headscape was to some degree a strategic decision. It was a lifestyle choice of what I wanted for my life. But it was also towards maybe a bit of a bigger plan of where I want to be in another 10 years. So maybe you think more strategically when you get older. What about you, Marcus? You're so much older than all of us.
Well, Chris is even older than me. And,
yeah.
And that makes me worried.
And Chris doesn't think like that, does he, really? He doesn't have a plan.
No, he doesn't think at this date I'm going to retire.
Oh, no, no, no,
thank
no.
Goodness
I,
for
I
that.
Don't. Yeah, and I don't think like that either.
But he's going to have to soon. And so will I. I mean, all right, I'm 48, I'm 12 years away from 60, which is that kind of nominal date where I think, well, it'd be nice if you could stop then. I don't think I'll be able to. I don't think that pensions are anywhere near good enough these days. I think I'm going to have to carry on doing something for quite a lot longer than that. I'd just like it to be quite a lot less than what I'm doing now.
And that's what you do. You start thinking about how to ramp this down.
Yeah.
Well, maybe when you're Dan's age, it's like, you know, you've still got life and energy.
It's
and
not, it's, it's, you know, when we started, I was 35 and wasn't even thinking about that. Wasn't an issue that even came into my head, but now I'm kind of, I'm a year and a bit away from being 50 and it's like, well, okay. Things start to break. I can't see anymore. You know?
you do start. You know, it's like I was lying in bed last night. I had a terrible night's sleep last night. And I was lying in bed going, you know, and feeling all those aches and pains and, you know, not feeling very well. And I was thinking to myself, what if I can't keep working? What would happen? You know, you start worrying about things like that because suddenly you're much more aware of your own mortality.
Yep.
That's cheerful, isn't it?
But that's, yeah, I mean, that you're right. That is strategic thinking that pretty much everyone will go through at some point, unless the decision is made for them by somebody else, which it isn't in our cases. We've got to think about, well, I'm not sure I want to do this forever at this level. So what you just said, what do I need to do to make that happen? So, yeah, and that will become a sharper and clearer question and answer as the years go by. At the moment, it's still a bit blurry, but... Yeah.
I bet Dan's sitting there thinking, what are these old geezers on about?
No, but I think you're kind of right, especially when I started, you know, you just think, oh, I sort of stumbled in this thing called web design, found out I can make some money from it. Let's just see how it goes,
yeah.
You know, and didn't really have a strategy or anything. And that's why after 7 years of doing it, it kind of went a bit crap, because actually, you know, got a bit older and realised I've got proper bills to pay, you know, and actually, you know, I'm working like a dog and I'm not really getting anywhere. I had to kind of reevaluate things and, you know, went on to form No Divide with Ryan. And yeah, I think, I don't know, I think it's very easy to just sort of keep going and going, oh, well, I love this, so I'm just going to keep doing it and doing it and doing it. And but at some point, you know, I think you have to kind of, like you say, take a step back and go, right, actually, what do I want out of this? You know, is this actually still servicing my lifestyle, and is it still what I wanted to be doing when I started off? You know, when you start off, normally you don't really have those kind of big business ideas, or if you do, you know, perhaps they probably change from when you're sort of 17, 18, depending on when you start. Like Marcus said, he was in his mid-30s when he started on this thing, so you're going to be in a very different position in your life at that point,
yeah.
You know, stepping out of something else and into this new kind of thing at a much later age than, you know, than I was. But, you know, come 35, you know, I might decide, actually, I'm bored with the web thing and I want to be a product guy, you know, because I'm just bored of it and it's no longer servicing me as what I want to do. So, yeah, I think strategies change all the time, probably.
Yeah, they do. And it is making sure that you're conscious of what you're doing and you don't let the business take control. And
yeah, checking in, I think,
yeah.
every sort of however long you need, you know, if it's 6 months or a year or whatever, just go right, is this what we want to do? I mean, you know, No Divide's still very young, so we haven't even got to that point yet.
No.
But, you know, in a year's time, we probably will want to go, right, you know, is this, are we doing the work that when we went, yeah, this is great, we want to be working with more exciting clients and we want to be doing this, have we actually done that?
Yeah.
If we've not, then why not? And if we have, then great, and everything can continue. But if we haven't, then we need to rethink it. And that might be marketing, it could be, you know, a focus change, it could be a staff change, it could be multiple things. But checking in every now and then just to make sure that you're on the right path or on the path that you set out for yourself, I think is probably the key there.
Yeah. And that's a brilliant, I think you've nailed it, and we shall finish at that point. But we do need to quickly mention the other sponsor, which is lynda.com. Lynda.com have over 3,000 on-demand video courses on all kinds of things like business, creativity, technical skills. So it's a great place to learn new skills. If you decide you want to change strategic direction, if you decide, for example, you would love to do some mobile apps, you can learn to code those there. If you suddenly decide that you want to get more knowledge about, you know, copywriting or content strategy, you could discover that kind of stuff. So it enables you to pivot your business if you need to and learn new skills. It's got a great selection of stuff on pretty much everything you can imagine, including thinking strategically. I found another good selection this week of videos on our topic. We've got building a business strategy. We've got competitive strategy fundamentals. I don't even know what that means. one on strategy development and one on bootstrapping strategy, which is good. So they've got thousands of videos on demand. You can learn at your own schedule, but it's all in like little short lessons, so you can kind of work through them at your own rate, and you get the whole thing for an unlimited flat fee. If you want a 10-day free trial, then use the URL lynda.com/boagworld. I mean, you might as well give it a go, see what you think, have a look around yourself, and hopefully, yeah, you'll find something you like. You can also just go to the site, and without even logging in, you can kind of see all the different stuff that's available to, you know, see whether it's the right fit for you. Cool. Joke. Yeah, we have joke. To do the
in,
joke.
In a wonderful moment of serendipity, Ian Luckcroft, works at Headscape, shared a joke with me this morning that happens to be on theme.
Oh.
How about that?
There you go.
So, someone asked me where I saw myself in 5 years. I told them, I don't know. I don't have 20/20 vision.
Oh! Limited lifespan joke, but very good. By the way, for those of you listening in the future, it is 2015.
Yes.
See, you've got to think about this. You're going to have to worry about these things in your videos as well, you know, Dan, that people might be listening to it in a few years' time. So making time-specific references is bad. But we do it all the time. Anyway, Dan, thank you so much for coming on the show. It turned into not at all the discussion I thought it was going to be, but actually a really interesting to kind of a very pragmatic look at kind of strategy. So thank you very much, mate.
Yes, thank
you. Much appreciated.
Thank you both. It's been a pleasure.
And next week we're going to be on our last show of this season. It's been a good one this season. I have no idea what we're doing next season. So if you've got ideas of what we should do in the season,
just carry on with this. It works. That's my thought.
Just waffling on about running your business.
But with somebody else. And talk about, I don't know, designy stuff.
Well, what I was thinking maybe is do a season on something like user experience and have guests talking about different aspects of user experience, from visual design all the way through to wearables, all the way through to, you know, lots of different kind of things. I was wondering about that.
Sounds good.
Or I was thinking about doing a season on what you've learnt. Right, where you get different people on and we just talk about the one thing that we've learnt in the last week. I don't know.
I have no idea.
So if you,
I like that one.
You like that one, do you?
Yeah.
So if you like either of those ideas or have got another one, email me them at paul@boagworld.com or tweet me them. But we have one show left to do, and that is on work-life balance, which is very similar to some of the stuff we've been talking about today. Mm. But we're going to be talking about that next week. I'm not entirely sure who the guest is going to be at the moment. I have someone lined up, kind of, but they haven't confirmed, so I won't say. It'll be a surprise for you next week. But for now, Dan, thank you very much. Marcus, I'll even thank you.
Thank you, Paul.
And talk to everyone next week. Goodbye.
Bye.
Bye.